This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What are you drinking? Vinny. Cake bread, Chardonnay. Haney, Mick Ultra. Vinny and Haney. 105.7, The Fan.
Take where you have an off season to kind of digest, you know, what you went through, understand mentally what it takes to play up there, that the speed of the game is totally different, the pitching you face is totally different, the pressure is not even close to what you're facing in AAA. Yeah, it's just been one day. So one day of a full squad, you know, it's an area where he's just a young player continuing to grow defensively. You know, he's gonna get a lot of reps at third base, maybe a little bit of first also. Just the command. I'm talking to Gary after a little bit, and I watched from behind, just the command of his fastball, the movement on his split finger, you know, just the command of all of his pitches, but the breaking ball just looked like he knew what he was doing. I told them yesterday how impressed I was, or I am right now, with the shape that all these guys came in. We had so many guys here early. They're really motivated, and I think a lot of guys are, you know, coming off a couple playoff losses, and I think that there's a lot of motivation with these guys in camp right now, and staff as well. And I've been really impressed with how eager they are to get on the field.
All right, that's Brandon Hyde, Orioles manager, talking about his team and their eagerness to get on the field, because full squad workout started a couple of days ago. But for the most part, everybody was there when pitchers and catchers reported. So that's a good sign. I mean, it's a team that wants to wash away the bitter taste of back-to-back, see ya, wouldn't want to be a sweeps in the playoffs, 2023, as the favorite against Texas, swept out in three. And then last year as the favorite against Kansas City at home. They went quietly into the night, and we talked about this on Wednesday, that the Orioles, not only have they been swept 2 years in a row, they're 0-4 at home in these playoff debacles, but they're eager to get there. They know there's some good things possibly in store for this team in 2025. Also heard Brandon Hyde talking about Sagano, and we'll talk to Rich Dubroff, 11:30, BaltimoreBaseball.com, who is in Sarasota, about his impressive bullpen session. Going to stretch him out. He's not going to pitch Saturday, we know that, but he'll get his innings in before they head north for Toronto. But Sagano, what he did in Japan, threw strikes, worked fast, kept the ball in the park. When you're a ground ball pitcher, you don't give up a ton of home runs. But also, when you're a control pitcher and you throw around the zone, it's also an area where you can get lit up for the long ball. But like Catfish Hunter famously used to do, I give up solo homers, not three-run bombs, because I don't walk anybody. So we heard that. And I'm intrigued by him, guys, Vinny Haney, Nolan McGraw. Nolan, Vinny, we'll start with you guys. I want to see what he brings to the equation. He's not a Shohei Ohtani,
right,
physically imposing guy, but then again, most of us aren't. But there's some game. He's got some game, and he's been a pretty proven commodity over in Japan for many, many years. And we'll see how this translates to MLB, and in particular, the AL East.
Right. I just want to see it in real game action, because, you know,
over there, the game's so much different. Not just style of hitters you're facing, but the rules are different. Time between outings is different. And you're coming over here, I mean, they've got this new stuff they're rolling out in spring with the ball and strike challenge call system. So that's a whole nother wrinkle that he's going to have to learn as well. You know, the pitch clock, is that something he can adjust to well? So, you know, bullpen sessions are great, but real game action, a whole different beast, even if it is spring.
Bob, how's his, you know, like holding runners on? Because a lot of times, you know, those Japanese pitchers, they have those crazy windups.
Elongated. That I can't answer. I don't know how adept he is at, you know, as a right-hander, you're constantly looking over your left shoulder. And here, what do they call them? Engagements or disengagements? Mm-hmm. Used to be pickoffs. I mean, he was throwing over to first. Now they make it sound smarter than it really is. His disengagements are like five.
That's because it's analytical people, it's not baseball.
Like, he's throwing to first.
If I may.
Trying to maintain the running game here.
I'm not the authority here.
Right.
But a disengagement is anytime you step off the rubber. Oh. You don't have to throw to disengage. Damn. A pickoff attempt is a throw.
But, you know, in the... I just turned 60. I've been watching baseball as long as I can remember watching walking the face of the planet. Steps off the rubber.
Right.
That's all. He steps off the rubber.
He's disengaging.
Yeah, but he wasn't in 1985. He was just stepping off the rubber.
In 2040, it'll be something new.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But anyway, we'll see how many disengagements and how he handles the running game, you know, given the fact that Adley and Gary Sanchez aren't, you know, particularly adept at throwing runners out. And we'll see if Adley bounces back. And we've talked about him a lot from a subpar defensive season and a brutal offensive season, especially in the second half. And then Kobe Mayo and Nolan, we were talking about him yesterday, Brandon Hyde talking about him, trying to find him a position. He's kind of the positionless guy. Westberg, we assume, is going to be the everyday third baseman, at least for the most part. You have Mountcastle and O'Hearn holding down the fort at first base. So where does he fit in? I don't see him coming north with the team, quite frankly, because there really isn't a spot for him. If he was a brilliant glove in left field, maybe he comes north because of the power intrigue. I don't think we see Mayo up here until somebody gets hurt or he just blasts his way onto the major league roster.
And even then, I mean, if he was tearing it up last year in AAA and the opportunity still wasn't there, I would even go as far as to say that if he was a quality defensive player, he would still be facing the same uphill battle just because of who's in front of him. Doesn't help his case that he's positionless and kind of in flux right now, trying to find his footing in the field. That's not helping at all. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a numbers game, and there's too many guys ahead of him.
Well, the thing is, you got to give the kid a little credit that he did probably work this offseason, and we'll see how he improved defensively. He knows that's his issue, so you know he's going to be working his ass off. So, I mean, that's what's cool about spring training is you know, watching guys, their improvements that they make. You know, I mean, just like Holiday playing a better second base. You know, Gunnar not throwing on the run so much. Kerstedt and Mayo improving defensively. I mean, that's what we're counting on for them to be even better.
And with Mayo and Holiday in particular as well, they were really overmatched.
Oh, yeah.
At the plate. And that's kind of, hey, if Mayo would have came up and hit 8 home runs and 150 at-bats, and I mean, Holiday, in all likelihood, is going to be the starting second baseman for the Orioles, so I'm not necessarily worried about him, but I want to see this Mayo power. I mean, we've seen it down on the farm for many different levels. Let's see it at the major league. I mean, Kerstad's displayed it when he has played, and I'm intrigued by him, too, defensive issues aside, but no room at the inn for Kobe Mayo right now, and based on reports, what, he hit at least 4.
Mm-hmm.
Home runs yesterday, and all of them of the majestic variety.
So, I mean, that's his strong suit. You know, we heard and saw the highlights out of Norfolk last year, him putting them over the bleachers. Apparently, that's what he did yesterday in batting practice. See if he does it against live competition this spring. It'd be a great way to make a great impression.
I'm guessing we'll see him in Baltimore at some point in 2025, but I don't think we'll see him in Toronto when they introduced the lineups there against the Blue Jays. And Brandon Hyde also, real quick, talking about the younger players like Mayo, Holiday, etc., getting more experience under their belts and, you know, learning. Sometimes they're tough lessons to learn, but learning nonetheless. And, I mean, you can't learn anything sitting on the bench eating sunflower seeds,
well,
I guess.
No doubt about it, Bob. And making big jumps from year one to year two, that's what a lot of these guys got to do. And it's going to be kind of cool to watch these exhibition games, preseason games, spring training games, and see the improvements. You know Mayo can hit. You just want to see him, you know, how is he? Is he acceptable defensively? That's the thing. And then does he have a spot? Where's Kerstad going to play? I mean, that's kind of the intriguing part about spring training is, you know, who's the talk?
You usually get a pretty good indication early on of how the manager and how the coaching staff is viewing certain players based on their spring training play time. I mean, for example, on Saturday, I don't know what the innings limits are going to be for some of these position players, if they'll play a full game or not, but usually it's not the case in spring. You're trying to rotate as many guys in and out. So the Gunnar Hendersons of the world, well, you know what you have in Gunnar. You know what to expect. So for him to play a full spring game, probably not as necessary, but if we're seeing, say, a Jackson Holliday out there for all nine innings, I think that'd be very telling about, all right, where they think he is in his progression.
It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. It is Total Request Thursday. Pick a song. We'll play it. Send your request. Plotsport text line 410-583-1057. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. We just heard from him, and we'll hear from him quite often over the course of this show. Terps tonight hosting USC, 8:30 tip. You can hear it on 105.7 The Fan. Trojans have lost 3 of 4, including a loss to Minnesota at home in their last game on Sunday. Maryland, one of the hottest teams in the country, 20-6, 10-5. Did you see that? Because their starting five has been rated as one of the best in the country, like top 15 good. Remember the Fab Five?
Mm-hmm.
They're the Crab Five. That's the nickname. The Crab Five. Well, two of them are from Baltimore, so that comes with it. But the Crab Five, they're 10.5 point favorites against USC. We'll talk about that. If you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. And the Ravens, we're what, less than a week away from coaches and GMs reporting
Monday
to Indianapolis, yeah, for the combine. And, you know, Baltimore with work to do, not a lot of work, but work to do nonetheless to get over that playoff hump, which has been so disappointing over the last...
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last few seasons. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday coming up starting at 11 o'clock. We'll tally them. Nolan will. And then we'll reveal it in a couple of hours or so. Baseball news real quick. Giancarlo Stanton, for all you Yankee fans out there, out indefinitely. Elbows, plural. Not elbow, and he's only got two of them. So don't expect to see him thumping in that Yankee lineup anytime soon. And tonight, Vinny. Outside, it's going to be a nice slate of sports stuff because it's been relatively quiet since Sunday. Not only Terps taking on USC, FS1, 105.7 The Fan, but the Four Nations Championship game.
Yeah, this is the biggest game in hockey in a long time, Bob, just for the reason being, you know, like if it was Stanley Cup, you got two fan bases, but here you got US and Canada, and you know, the game from the other night with the fights and everything got a lot of people that don't normally watch hockey are going to be tuning in tonight. So the hockey people, they're kind of excited about, you know, maybe people, you know, find out about hockey and learn about hockey. And Bob, something that you may like, I was there. The people from New Orleans went and talked to the NHL people about trying to get expansion team.
Oh,
yeah.
Because right now, what, they have the Saints and the
Pelicans.
They
want to add two more hockey teams over the next few years. And the
why no Canadian teams? Why do they keep getting old continental U.S. here?
Where's Bob? The players, number one, the players don't want to go there. The taxes are high. You don't get to pay, you know, you got to get American dollars because the dollar is not worth much there. And people don't live there. You know, it's too cold and stuff throughout the year. So, yeah, everybody wants to be in the U.S. And just look at it. I mean, they're moving, you know, Nashville. You know, they were talking on NHL radio yesterday about, well, I didn't think Nashville would be any good, and it's an awesome place. Because they were talking about New Orleans, you know, and the arena. I guess they used to have a team there, like a not a pro team, you know, like a triple or some kind of team that drew well and
I'm
stuff.
Not sure.
So. They were just saying, can they handle having a pro basketball, pro hockey, and pro football?
Yeah.
Because there's only 400,000 people in the town.
The consumer dollars for sure. But, yeah, it's like Nashville, Carolina, both
Miami,
Florida teams.
Tampa, yep.
Yeah, so they've kind of played. Atlanta's kind of crapped
that,
well,
they always
times.
They always want to go back to Atlanta and Houston.
Yeah, but anyway, Four Nations Championship game. We'll talk about that a little bit more during the whip around, so stay tuned. But let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. Hey, Nolan, pull these calls up for me if you don't mind. Let's go to Rob and Bel Air first. Rob, you've been waiting. What's happening, buddy?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
We've been great to win those Metallica concerts, Bob. I don't know if you've ever seen Metallica in concert.
I have not. And
oh, my God.
And it's, you know, I had a chance, I believe, to see them open for Ozzy.
Oh, my God,
back in 86 when Cliff Burton was still the bass player, but I think I did. I can't remember. But are we giving tickets away today?
We are.
So
two pairs, as a matter of fact.
Rob, so.
And you will know when we're giving them away. I want to make that clear.
Yeah.
It'll be abundantly clear when we're giving them away.
All right, Rob.
So no calling and saying, hey, where's the tickets?
Rick.
You'll know.
All right, Rob, if you want to go, you have two chances today.
I know, man. I know. That's why I think, Bob, you should do, like you do the whip around, you should do a music segment too as well. Why not? That would be pretty cool if you could add that in.
Right, well, talk to the new PD, see how that works.
Because you're big on that.
Who is a rock and roll guy,
yeah,
by the way? Yeah, Scott Jameson.
And a good feature artist just to think about because of Richie Blackmore at guitar would be Deep Purple or Rainbow. That would be a pretty good.
That wouldn't be bad. Nolan, take that under advisement. As a matter of fact, I'm going to write it down right now, Rob. deep
yeah, man.
Purple. There's a vote. I'm with you on that. I'm cool with that.
Hey, I was listening to Vinny. I was listening to Booger McFarland, and this is something I agree with. He said that, you know, when the Ravens are in the regular season, they're almost like the most dominant team in the NFL, except when they blow it against Cleveland and, you know, the other stuff. Mm-hmm. But he said about the Ravens, the thing about it almost reminds me, and I'm going to put it together with the Orioles. It's like when they get the biggest bright lights, like the Orioles, their hitters come up so short. It's like they don't have that clutch genes with the Orioles for some reason. I mean, I'd be happy if they just win a playoff game, if they get to the playoffs. With the Ravens, I mean, against Pittsburgh, yeah, they look great. They look great against Pittsburgh, but they can't string it together for two games in a row. And trying to figure out who to get the players in the draft and free agency, I mean, we all know they kind of had the teams to do it. There's something when they get in there missing, and that was with Mark Andrews or mm-hmm. not, or something with the coaching. But I still think, Vinny, I mean, you're going to do your – watching the Philadelphia Eagles, the thing that got me the most with them was the line of scrimmage with the defensive line mm-hmm. and with the offensive line. I mean, they just completely dominate. And I think the Ravens have the two guys up the middle with Matabike and Jones, but I still think they're looking for that pass rusher. Now, if you were a GM, would you do anything you could to get that pass rusher? I mean, especially with the cap going up and what they could be able to do, because that's the thing I've always felt they're missing. I know they're sacks. They were one of the top teams, but we already talked about the way their sacks were.
Right.
But that's what I'm thinking they're missing. I want to get your opinion on that, Vinny, as well, about that pass rusher, maybe in the draft or free agency.
Yeah,
Rob, thanks.
I
stay
would
tuned
love
for Metallica team.
There's a lot of pass rush guys possibly out there with the Crosbys and the Hendricksons and stuff. But there's a lot of depth in the draft this year. So my point would be, if you're sitting at 27 and there's a guy that Chuck Smith and Harbs and Eric and everybody loves, and you say he's not going to be there at 27. And he's going to be there at like 18. Go get him. If he's that guy that everybody loves, go get him. Because you got 11 picks. 11 guys aren't going to make your team. Do you need some depth and stuff? Absolutely. But they have a good football team. Now back to the stars not performing. It's like, because Lamar played good. And Henry played. Justice Hill played good. But it's just like one guy. You know, if one guy doesn't show up, then it costs them. And that's kind of what happened in that game. I mean, because if Andrews shows up, they win. And then we're on to Kansas City. Then it's a whole different scenario. But he's right. There's always something, you know, that, you know, the Kansas City last year, you know, who was it in that game? I mean,
play calling.
Yeah. They didn't run the ball.
Generated on offense.
Right. So it's always, you know, they just stack them. They can get one, but they can't get two.
And the team to win it 2 years in a row, they were capable, in my opinion, of winning the Super Bowl. And Nolan, get in here too. They've had two Super Bowl champions, 2000, really good running game, great defense, one of the best defenses of all time. 2012, kind of caught lightning in the bottle in January into February. The two teams prior to that, in my opinion, 10 and 11, were better than them. 2006 was 13-3. The Colts held them without a touchdown, 15-6. Matter of fact, they held Indy without a touchdown and lost. But the last 2 years, I believe, Nolan, were the two best teams during the Lamar era. And as we've all talked about and essentially agree, next year's team might be the best of them all. Mm-hmm. So Super Bowl has got to be the end game here, no doubt.
Well, they might not just be the best two teams of the Lamar era. You could argue they're the best two constructed teams in Ravens history, even over the ones that won it all. I think they're more balanced. I'd even put 2019 in that conversation as well, and they came up short. So they've done great things here in the last 5 to 7 years constructing a team. There's just something missing in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that this past team was probably the best team, Bob, because you know what? By the end of the year, The defense was a top 10 defense, and the offense was the number one offense. I mean, they had it all, except, you know, the kicker kind of hurt. But he was good at the end, too. So by the end of the year,
post-bye,
they had everything rolling.
Post-bye, they were dominating for the most part. Spinny at 81.057, the Fan and the Orioles get to the playoffs. They haven't been in the playoffs three straight years since 1969. Through 71, when they went to the World Series those 3 years, one of the great teams in the history of Major League Baseball. But they need to win now. Rebuild's over. It's been over for a couple of years. Now for the Orioles, when you get to the postseason, and I think they will, you got to do some damage. But the Ravens, they got to win the Super Bowl.
Every game, every interview, every take, 105.7, the voice of the Fan.
Song we always talking about. Maybe the gloves will be dropping tonight. TD Garden in Boston. A little fighting going on. Elton John. Saturday night's all right for a fight, but it's a Thursday night. Who knows? You might see some fisticuffs in many basketball games. I don't know. People get all charged up this time of year. NBA coming back from that all-star break, which was lame. Sean Debney will talk about that from Heavy.com at 12:30. Terps tonight back on the hardwood. I don't see any fighting there, but Maryland fighting for maybe a higher seed in the Big Ten and in the NCAA tournament. So we got that coming your way. Rich Dubroff, he's going to be down in Florida. Well, is down in Florida. Talk about the Birds of Baltimore fighting to get to the playoffs for the third straight year and maybe even winning a series. And not even winning a game is going to be good enough for me. They get to the playoffs, they got to win, you know, a series. I mean, let's go. Time to level up a little bit in regards to that window being wide open. We'll talk about the Ravens and the Orioles with Cordell Woodland. 11 o'clock, whip around 11:15. But let's get out to the phones. It's Vinny at 80, Bob 80, V. Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of glass. It's Joe in Woodbury. Joe, what's up?
Man, I hear you already advocating for what that guy Rob said. I was thinking about the police for tomorrow, but Quick Draw said you have done it. So I'm going to say ELO, because I don't never hear nobody say nothing about ELO, Electric right. Light all Orchestra.
Right. I got
but
it.
Anyway, and because of Rob, I got to digress and say this. Ravens need I don't call him a pass rusher. He's called the disruptor, a guy that can come off that edge and disrupt everything. That's what Philly had. It's only five guys like it to me in college football, and then they only look as good as who they go up against. See, they can go up against a sorry left or right tackle and look good, but they go up against a good one and don't. But see, that's my digress about football. I called to talk about baseball.
Yep.
Now, I want to ask you two guys, do the most exciting plays of baseball come on defense side or offense side?
Wow, that's a great question. And I think
I know it is. Yeah. That's why I asked.
Oh, excuse me. Pardon me. I mean, but it can go both ways. Of course it can. I mean, like not in the same play, you know what I mean? But or maybe it could. Say there's a bases clearing triple, and then the guy's trying to stretch to maybe turn it into an inside the park homer and a dude hoses him from right field. Then he got two great plays on the same play. But I think back, Joe, to Cedric Mullins 2 years ago in Seattle, where he robbed the game-winning homer against the Mariners and then hit the game-winning homer in the top of the next inning. To me, I mean, one guy can provide both in the same game. I mean, home runs become almost passe.
Walk-off.
Yeah, walk-offs are great. But I don't know, man. Game-saving defensive plays, yeah, they're pretty awesome. So there you
we're
go.
Around the same age.
There's my wishy-washy answer to your question.
Okay, we're around the same age. I'm letting you know. That's what drawed me to baseball. Not the offensive plays, but the defensive plays. You know, Brooks, Belanger, Blair. That's what I'm saying. Getting thrown out on a chopper when the guy on third went on contact. It's so many ways that are exciting to baseball from the defensive side. I was just telling my friend Rolo and his buddy the Con Man that to me that was the most exciting stuff about baseball is on the defensive side.
Well, remember Dave Parker, who finally got in the Hall of Fame. He was MVP mm-hmm. of the 79 World Series because he threw two guys out.
That's what I'm saying.
I believe it was Jim Rice at third base and threw out Brian Downing at the plate. Yeah.
The guy who got that gun in the outfield. You know, the third base, the
Manny,
man on
Manny Machado made
off.
Some like awesome
yes.
plays.
Man, 13.
Yes. See, y'all feeling me? You feeling me?
We're feeling
you. Know
you.
Defense is the most is the most exciting part about baseball.
But I also liked his 50 doubles and 35 homers too. Let's not. You know what I mean? Yeah. Bring that into the equation. All right, Joe. Thanks
okay.
for the call.
All right, take it easy, fellas.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, and it, you could apply this to all sports. Maybe football and baseball more so. I mean, you want to watch an 89-87 NBA game where it's a ton of fouls?
No.
I mean, last night, for instance, 197 Lakers lose at home to Charlotte, which we'll talk about during the whip more detailed. They shot 51 threes last night. I mean, is that fun to watch? No.
No defense, huh?
I mean, if you're making all 51, it's like, oh, my God, yeah. We're watching the greatest offensive display in the history. It was defense. They couldn't make a shot. But in the NFL, would you rather watch the 2000 Ravens just dominate or the 85 Bears dominate? Would you rather watch, say, the 49ers put 50 up on a hapless opponent?
I think whether it be high scoring or low scoring, just be a real competitive, like where every play matters. That's what's, you know, like where you're on the edge of your seat the whole time. You know, and like these games that they're showing, like the Bengals-Ravens games.
Second game.
Yeah, I mean, that was to me, that's exciting.
What do you think, Aaron Nolan McGraw?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Super Bowl this year is a perfect example of just because you got two good teams on paper doesn't mean you're always going to get the most entertaining game. We've been pretty fortunate recently with Super Bowls that the games have been good, but this year, kind of laid an egg. It's not really interesting. So it dampens the mood. I mean, it's the final football game of the year. Everyone's like, this is our last chance to watch competitive football for a while. And you get a stinker like that, unless you're an Eagles fan. I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah, you're turning the game off in the third quarter.
No doubt about it. But, you know,
the year before, the overtime game, that was good.
And the Super Bowl 2 years ago between those same two teams, the first one. So, I mean, it can go a lot. What do you think, people? More offense, more defense? I've always been of the pitcher's duel variety when it comes to the more exciting, intense game, because that diving play, that second base, that turning the double, and you're getting a double up a speedy guy, that first base, big K with runners in scoring position. To me, that's always been the most exciting game to watch. I mean, remember Game 7 of the 91 World Series, Twinkies and Braves that won the extra innings that ended on a Minnesota fly ball, 1-0. Is Jack Morris for the Twins. He went, 11 innings or whatever it was? That's something you'll never see again. But that game had a lot of drama. Then again, a lot of people consider the best game in World Series history the sixth game of the 75 World Series when Fisk hit the foul pole. And that had a lot of game-tying three-run homers. George Foster threw out Danny Doyle at the plate, which could have won the game. I mean, that one had a lot of – you got a little bit of both. Dwight Evans made spectacular plays. So, yeah, that's a tough one to answer because there is no definitive answer. It's just an opinion. Cordell Woodland, he'll be joining us 11 o'clock. Talk Ravens and Orioles with him. Whip around 11:15. And Rich Dubrow, BaltimoreBaseball.com, live from Sarasota there. Orioles spring training opener is Saturday against the Pirates. It's the waiting to see who's going to throw the ball for the Birds. And outside of Corbin Burns last year, it's never really been like a dude.
Mm-mm.
It's been an arm.
Appears it's going to be Albert Suarez. It's just coming out here in the last couple minutes. Albert Suarez, your starter for Saturday.
There you go, Nolan. Way to keep up on that updated news. So Albert Suarez, role to be determined. Will he be the starting rotation guy? Will he be a swing guy? Will he be a high leverage bullpen guy? Because right now, as they have their 5-man rotation put together, he's not in it. But he's certainly going to be an asset to the team, just like he was last year, where he was huge given all the injuries they had to the rotation. So we'll talk to Rich about that. But NFL news came out yesterday. Salary cap's going up, $22 million plus to between $277.5 to $281.5. So that's 2 years. The cap has risen over almost $60 million.
Yeah, that's the new TV contracts kicked in. That's the big thing. And Bob, what happens is, that meeting in December that GMs have in Dallas, like December the 15th, they give you at that meeting, they give you like an idea of what the cap is going to be for this year. just so you can kind of start to put your models together. So I'm not, and then you're always excited when it comes out, and it's like, yes, it's 5 million more than we had planned. You know, so hopefully that Eric and them, they got more than they expected. So then that, I mean, that helps. So let's just say, cap-wise, you were at 6, the Ravens, and now you had it budgeted in and everything, and now you got an extra $5 million or whatever. Maybe, you know, it helps you get such and such, Ricard done or something. So, yeah, that's when it goes up like that, it's only good news.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And if you assumed it would go up.
No
but,
doubt.
But is this a significant leap? Like 2 years, as we just said, this salary cap's going up a pretty hefty chunk of change here.
Yeah, and that's from the TV contracts they've kicked in. I mean, you know, and I mean that's huge. And I mean, Bob, because like the $277 million. I mean, it's crazy. Like when it first started, I think because the first cap was in '95, it was like $50 million or whatever. I mean, it's crazy the amount of money. Oh, look at the values of franchises now. I saw where San Fran, they want to sell 10% of their team, and they've got it valued at $9 billion. And Eddie Senior bought it in '77 for $13 million.
Yeah, I think the Giants are trying to sell off a little chunk of that franchise too, which has been in the Mara family since its inception, way back when. But how does this impact the Ravens? Well, it's a positive.
Oh, no doubt.
Impact for sure. But if you're a team that's already got plenty of cap room, you're celebrating a little bit more, aren't you? Say Washington or a team like that. Oh, we're already flush with money. Now we got $22 million plus more.
Well, the teams that are really celebrating, the teams that are over the cap, and then it's like, whew, all right, you know, then we have to do less work because, I mean, to get under, you know, I mean, like, it seems like New Orleans every year is fighting their ass off to, you know, get under, redo contracts and just keep, you know, they have credit card mentality. And what does that mean? You know, you pay a little bit, and sooner or later, you got to pay off your bill.
Sure.
And that's what happens to teams.
And the interest keeps adding up, too, as a matter of fact. But is this a dramatic turn of events for Eric DaCosta and the Ravens in regards to maybe being a little more aggressive in free agency, which, for the most part, they're not really. But looking to fill needs, whatever those needs might be.
I would say just because, Bob, they've known since December what the cap is. So they have a game plan in mind. And they had a pretty good idea that it was going up. Did they realize it was going up this much? I mean, you know, usually when the numbers that they give you, like in December, it's, you know, within $5 million or so. So, you know, going up 22, maybe in December they told them it was going up. They tell you it's probably going up somewhere between 18 and 22. And when most teams put it in, you know, some teams will put in the low number and some teams will put in the high number. Then it goes over that. Then some teams, they probably got an extra $3 million in their budget. So, yeah, it's does it help them do more things? I think it helps more for the Ravens' point. I think it helps more with guys they have on the Ricards and maybe the Ronnie Stanleys, the McCars, those types of guys.
And we're not expecting a ton of turnover with the roster.
No.
For the Ravens in the offseason. Just trying to tweak and in some areas upgrade at positions. They're going to need a kicker, and, you know, it's an unfortunate situation, but one that if these allegations are true, that Justin Tucker brought on himself.
Yes.
So we're not trying. Are you surprised the Ravens haven't spoken more about this? Now, they're going to have to talk about it next week in Indianapolis.
Oh, that's be the first question to DaCosta both guys.
And Harbaugh get in there, but should this have been addressed other than the
what can you? You really can't say anything. That's the thing, because nothing is, you know, I mean, it's just accusations, so there's nothing definitive that they can go on. You know, I mean, so what do you want the Ravens to say? I mean, that's the thing. What do you want the NFL to say? The NFL always is like, we're going to let the legal process play out, and then they'll make their decision. And I'm guessing that's what Harbs and Eric are going to say. It's going to be so general that you're going to say, you know, that's what we figured. You know, I mean, if they give you something, you're going to be shocked.
Sure. Now, for Tucker himself, what more can he say other than these accusations are false?
Yeah, he can't do an interview.
Does he have to keep releasing statements through his attorneys? And, I mean, because his family's obviously affected by this. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh.
And his career could be irreparably damaged by this. So other than denying, I mean, how many more times does he have to deny? Or do you just hold steady with your original statement, which was almost a month ago?
Yeah.
That, hey, these are unequivocally false. And
I guess that's why he's paying big bucks to the highest, to the lawyers. You know, that's what they got to tell you to do. I don't, Bob, like, I don't know. I mean, the more you say, are you just getting yourself in more trouble?
Yeah, just deny, let me handle the rest, legal representation. And I was reading a story yesterday in the Banner and in the Sun, where does it seem as though they're charging to any civil or criminal activity yet, but I mean, what's the point of the accusations? Because the statute of limitations is, what, 3 years for civil suits here.
So does it all be...
And the attorney for a lot of the accusers was like, we're just gathering information and, you know, I don't know what the end game's going to be, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, let's just say that there's no charges or whatever, and it just kind of goes as is. I mean, how would the fans react to him in the stadium?
If he's cleared?
Well, cleared? I don't know that he's going to be cleared. I let's just say Bobby pays them all off like Watson did.
Mm-hmm.
How's he going to be?
It's a good question. Now, Watson didn't start getting booed till he sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, if he would have let him in the 3 straight AFC championship games, they'd be talking about where to put the statue of him outside the stadium. Justin Tucker was a guy that took a lot of smoke prior to the bye and then kicked very well after it. I don't know, Nolan, what do you think?
I think it'd be very mixed. And going back to the Watson thing.
Protester level mixed, maybe outside the stadium?
I have no idea there. I mean, that's a different thing. But, you know, when Watson and Cleveland, they went on the road, that's when he was really hearing it. Or that's when he was really taking it from opposing fan bases. I'd imagine that'd be no different for Tucker. And it would be mixed. Regardless of what, how this situation pans out, if it's going to be a mixed reaction from the Ravens fans, we've heard from plenty of people that are still adamant that there's nothing here and this is BS. The other side of the coin says he should have been gone 2 weeks ago.
And if he did go back, Bob, and he missed a field goal, there would be a lot of boos.
Yeah, but I, like Nolan said, when they go to Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, it's all on. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan, Cordell Woodland. He'll be joining us coming up in a few minutes. Talk Orioles and Ravens with him. Whip around 11:15. Starting to get a pulse here with some more sports tons going on tonight. Stay tuned. And Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com, live from Sarasota, joining us 11:30.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.